and dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities and an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Put an end to the gangs and the drugs and the streets and the fact that the bad guys most always go free. That is wrong. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us and take all our money and send it abroad.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller. We'll be with you live for the next 2 hours on this 26th day of September 2005. Live from the studios of Republic Broadcasting Network, located in almost beautiful downtown Round Rock, Texas. No guests today, ladies and gentlemen. Just a ton of news that I want to go over. We kind of get a little bit behind. I've been. I want to thank Jerry Gudetti, by the way, for filling in for me last Friday. Her program can be heard on RBN, and it's on WWCR 12.160 on the shortwave from 1 to 3 p.m. every Saturday, 1 to 3 p.m. every Saturday afternoon. So you want to tune into that lady's show. She does a very fine job, and right now she's all over the bird flu. Well, she doesn't have it. She's just on the subject. Okay. At any rate, I'd like to thank her for filling in for me last Friday. It's just been really hectic around here the last couple of weeks, folks. As I stated before, we had our own little taste of the soup bowl. That's right, New Orleans style. New Orleans style soup. That's right. Only in the form of backed up sewage pipes around here. Horrible experience, folks. I spent 6 hours literally sucking human waste. And then dumping it outside. It was a lot of fun. You get that first urge that I had was, oh gosh, I'm going to hurl. And I knew if I started doing that, I'd never get through it. My wife and I were literally in here, both of us, for 6 hours doing that. We're back up, fully operational, full tilt boogie, but the inside of the place still doesn't look the same as it did before. Had to rip out all of our carpeting, and they wanted to take out walls and all this other stuff. But you know what? What we did was just plugged in our ionizers, folks. That's right. Strong enough to kill the smell of human sewage, if you can even imagine what that is. A lot of people have, they've experienced a backed-up toilet, but, well, generally that's just what's in the bowl and has been sitting around stewing for quite some time. Sorry to get so graphic about this, but, eesh. I mean, it's one of the facts of life that is out of sight and out of smell to most of us. But man, I'm telling you, if you've ever had a backup and a huge backup of raw sewage, it is something that you don't want to experience. And if you do, hopefully your smell buds are gone. You've lost your sense of smell because it's absolutely horrible. But I'll tell you what, thank God we had the ionizers. I'm telling you, Mr. Producer, what's it smell like to you? You came in here today. Did you smell anything in here today? Not a thing. The first night that you called me, because you're the one that discovered this, and you told me to come down, you thought it would be a good idea if I came down, and you didn't. You're not an emotional person, so when you say something, it's I have to really listen, and I had to think to myself at 2 o'clock last Sunday morning when he said, "You better come down here." I was thinking, well, to him, better is a relative term. Well, he underestimated it. Man, did I need to be down here. At any rate, we're all caught up. We're just sitting around waiting for our finishing touches, a little bit of paint up and some new carpeting, and we're back rocking and rolling. We'll get on with it right after this break.
Are you one of the millions who have trouble waking up every morning? Hit the snooze a few too many times? Need that morning cup of coffee to get you started? Why not put a little spice in your morning with Gano Cafe? Gano Cafe, a healthy coffee, gives you energy and vigor, increases your focus and mental clarity. Gano Cafe helps the body heal itself, strengthen the immune system, and waste elimination for detoxification. If you're a coffee drinker, you won't believe the wonderful taste of this great coffee. Ganoderma, commonly known as the reishi mushroom, has been utilized in Chinese medicine for over 2,000 years. Also known as the longevity herb, miraculous king of herbs, it's more powerful than ginseng and has much lower caffeine and acid. To get your cup of great-tasting coffee, go to healthycoffeeonline.com or call 1-888-841-6055. That's 1-888-841-6055.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using right-frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Bright discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions, and there are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Eliminate the cause. Don't just treat the symptoms. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. One more time, that's 866-885-6625.
Have you heard about the Ark Institute and their famous non-hybrid heirloom vegetable seeds? No genetic engineering there. In fact, you may never need to buy seeds again. These days, you need to ensure that your family can eat no matter what happens. The Ark Institute has agreed to offer Republic listeners free shipping on their complete collection of 40 non-hybrid heirlooms and their best-selling gardening how-to manual, Build Your Ark. Their packets are generous enough for fresh eating, seed saving, and canning and freezing too. Green beans, corn, carrots, peas, the list goes on and on. Learn how to be self-sufficient in good times and bad. A complete family food security package is just $99. And remember, shipping is free. Call 1-800-255-1912. That's 1-800-255-1912. Or visit arkinstitute.com.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
And of course, you didn't see this on the news, ladies and gentlemen. I'll give my producer another moment to get rid of that doggone bumper music. Ah, there we go. Thank you. It's Monday. It's Monday, folks. Our week doesn't start around here. It's hard to imagine where it begins and where it ends. I guess for purposes of just logging weeks, I guess we go Sunday to Sunday around here. What you didn't see on the news, ladies and gentlemen, well, you might have heard a little blurb about it, but they sure did not want to cover this. Anytime you get 100,000 people in Washington, D.C. demonstrating, they just don't want to cover it. I've got two reports on that, one from the Associated Press, and, of course, I've got Newsmax's. And apparently, and shame on Newsmax for doing this, because I was reading the Associated Press story, and then I was reading the Newsmax story, and ironically, they were both the same. So pretty much the Newsmax story was lifted from the AP, and it didn't give them credit for it. Shame on you. At any rate, Cindy Sheehan, the California woman who has used her son's death in Iraq, now this is Newsmax words, not mine, to spur the, they might as well be, they are mainstream. I mean, let's just get real about this. The guy that wants to be the Edward R. Murrow lookalike has joined the other side. He's joined the dark side. It says here, you has used her own son's death in Iraq to spur the anti-war movement, was arrested Monday while protesting outside the White House. Sheehan and several dozen other protesters sat down on the sidewalk after marching along the pedestrian walkway on Pennsylvania Avenue. Police warned them three times that they were breaking the law by failing to move along, then began making arrests. Sheehan, 48, was first taken into custody. She stood up and was led to a police vehicle while protesters chanted, "The whole world is watching." Well, not the way the media has covered this. Sheehan's 24-year-old son, Casey, was killed in an ambush in Sadr City, Iraq, last year. She attracted worldwide attention last month through the 26-day vigil outside of President Bush's Texas ranch. Sheehan was among several hundred demonstrators who marched around the White House on Monday and then stopped in front and began singing and chanting, "Stop the War Now." The demonstration is part of a broader anti-war effort on Capitol Hill, organized for or by United for Peace and Justice, an umbrella group. Representatives from anti-war groups were meeting Monday with members of Congress to urge them to work to end the war and bring home the troops. Now, the protests followed a massive demonstration Saturday on the National Mall that drew a crowd of 100,000 or more, the largest such gathering in the Capitol since the war began in March of 2003. On Sunday, a rally supporting the war drew roughly 500 participants. Speakers included veterans of World War II and the war in Iraq, as well as family members of soldiers killed in Iraq. According to Mitzi Kenny of Ridgely, West Virginia, whose husband died in Iraq last year, she said, "I would like to say to Cindy Sheehan and her supporters, don't be a group of unthinking lemmings. It's not pretty." The anti-war demonstrations can affect the war in a really negative way. It gives the enemy hope. Let me see here. On one hand, we got 100,000 people. On the other hand, we got 500. And isn't it ironic what Mitzi Kenny said? Now, and Mitzi Kenny, if somebody knows you, and you probably don't listen to this program because you wouldn't make a stupid statement like that if you did. Mitzi, I am sorry for your loss, but here's a flash for you. Your husband didn't have to die, okay? We all have to go sometime. That is true. It used to be on death and taxes. Well, we've got it narrowed down to just death, okay? But suffice it to say, Mitzi Kenny, that no, your husband didn't have to die. And I am amazed that you use this terminology. I would like to say to Cindy Sheehan and her supporters, don't be a group of unthinking lemmings. That was part of the 500 group that you were up there with, the unthinking lemmings. And I said this before, and I don't like to be crass about this because, well, losing loved ones just isn't fun, folks, and no matter how you lose them, a car accident, untimely deaths, freak accidents, whatever the case may be, war, it all ends up to the same thing. I mean, dead is dead, right? But it's how we limit how death comes to us. It's a little bit more in our control, and I would like to think that we as a people have more control than to allow this carnage to continue to take place on both sides. Okay, it's just not American soldiers. It's also the Iraqis. And what really troubles me, and what it was not said in here, and I read a quote someplace else that, you know, that this is a war on terrorism. This is not a war on terrorism. Saddam Hussein had nothing to do with September 11, 2001. We'll tell you about the myths of Iraq's foreign fighters. Tom Reagan over at the Christian Science Monitor wrote that. I'll do that story next. But and even the Saudis are warning. They're saying, look, I don't know what you think. You thought you were doing setting up this provisional government in Iraq, but it ain't going to work. And they're saying, congratulations, you've just destroyed a nation. But, of course, we want to build a democracy. See, folks, what we're doing right now is we're nation building. And we don't care who's running it. If we've got a better idea, well, then that new idea is going to be their new regime. Okay? I mean, look at George Bush. Somebody thought, well, we'll take the presidency, we'll set up a new regime here. They thought that was a good idea. Do we think that it is? Well, of course not. But there, I'll tell you what, the Iraqis are war weary right now. But evidently, they've got something that that just won't die, and they don't want to be taken over. All these supposedly insurgents, okay, these terrorists that are flooding into Iraq right now, folks, it just ain't the way they're explaining it. It just is not the way it's going on. Now, imagine what would happen in this country if we had foreign troops in this country, we were being occupied by foreign troops. I think I've already made my position clear on this. I did a couple of Fridays ago, and I was talking about the Mexican army being in this country, being armed. Oh, please let me run across one of these guys, because I already said what I would do in that case. So how do you think people would react? General Joe Schmo, I mean, just a general population in this country would react. You're a gun owner now, mind that. You know liberty and freedom. You know your Constitution. You know this country is a republic and not a democracy. Imagine if we had occupied troops walking around in our streets right now. What you would be doing as a gun owner, I could only imagine. I would like to think that I would know what you would be doing right now. And that's making sure that these foreign soldiers were off our soil. One drop of blood at a time, if necessary, but they would be gone. But, you know, we just have to play this game in the major news medias, folks. I mean, we can't give aid and comfort to the enemy, can we? No, so we got to put on this phony front that everybody supports George Bush in the war. That's why you didn't see any coverage over the weekend about Cindy Sheehan in Washington, D.C., or the 100,000 people that were up there listening to speeches and milling around on the mall. It just ain't politically correct for the major news medias. I mean, it just isn't. Tom Reagan said this, the CSM, the Christian Science Monitor, said the U.S. and Iraqi governments have vastly overstated the number of foreign fighters in Iraq. Most of them don't come from Saudi Arabia, according to a new report from the Washington-based Center for Strategic International Studies, or CSIS. According to a piece in The Guardian, this means that that's The Guardian from England, by the way, folks. This means that the U.S. and Iraq feed the myth that foreign fighters are the backbone of the insurgency. While the foreign fighters may stoke the insurgency flames, they only comprise of about 4 to 10% of the estimated 30,000 insurgents. Now, keep this in mind, because as you see the Middle East right now, this was a creation of England. You see the nation state set up over there. Well, they had a lot to do with that. And, well, they didn't like the idea of the Brits being over there either. They don't like the idea of anybody coming in and saying, you know, this sand is my sand, this sand is your sand, you know, from whatever. But you have to understand this, folks, that before that happened, I mean, we're dealing with a Muslim belief system here. And that kind of transcends borders over there, countries. And a lot of these people that are in Iraq have relatives that live all over the Middle East. So these supposedly insurgents, a lot of these people were showing up to give aid and assistance to their brethren that were still in Iraq. The CSIS study also disputes media reports that Saudis compromise the largest group of foreign fighters. Algerians are the largest group, 20%, followed by Syrians, 18%, Yemenis, 17%, Sudanese, 15%, Egyptians, 13%, Saudis, 12%, and those from other states, 5%. CSIS gathered the information for its study from intelligence sources in the Gulf region. The CSIS report says the vast majority of Saudi militants who have entered Iraq were not terrorist sympathizers before the war and were radicalized almost exclusively by the coalition invasion. The average age of the Saudis was 17 to 25, and they were generally middle class with jobs, though they usually had connections with the most prominent conservative tribes. I'll continue this on the other side, folks, because it's important, because this is what you're not hearing in the news. Okay? These so-called insurgents, and a lot of times called terrorists. Well, these very terrorists are trying to defend Iraq Oh, that's right, against foreign invasion and occupation. Same old story. We'll be right back.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Listen to what Cocoon GH has done for another satisfied user.
I've been meaning to let you good people know about my fantastic results after using the Cocoon GH for only a few weeks. Before I started using GH, I had severe pain in my right shoulder, to the point of not being able to take off my shirt. But within the first few days of using GH, I realized the pain was dramatically reduced. I could not believe it. I thought I was bluffing myself. Within another week, I had full use of my shoulder. The pain was nearly all gone. Also, my graying hair is about 75% less now, to my surprise. I have a lot better energy now. I feel like I can do a lot more. I have more will to go on and make life wonderful in my golden years. I started a physical fitness program because I feel so good. I have get up and go like when I was younger. I am really thankful for this product and will continue using it from now on.
Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
This is Christine with another Bring 'Em Home message. Have we as Americans had enough yet? With the recent crisis in New Orleans and the southern Gulf Coast, death and destruction have been visited upon Americans once again. The government's response has been to bring foreign troops onto America's land. Federal and foreign troops now control the region while the National Guardsmen are away, entangled in foreign wars, unable to protect their homes and families. The New World Order has reached its long-planned objective, to secure American troops on foreign soil and foreign troops on American soil. Enough. Let's get these foreign troops out and bring our American troops home now. Help us make the public aware of this dire situation by displaying on your cars our Bring 'Em Home magnetic ribbons or our new Bring 'Em Home bumper stickers. To place your orders, call 877-605-9200 or go to rbnlive.com or bringemhome.org.
By the way, the voice you just heard on that commercial was Christine Veith, a friend of mine. And Christine, I don't like the music either. You want to know why? That's the battle hymn of the Republic, isn't it? Johnny Comes Marching Home? No, Johnny Comes Marching Home. That was the Union's song, was it not? I do believe that it was. So we got to get that off of there. At any rate, back to the story about the myths of Iraq's foreign fighters. The report, the CSIS report says that the vast majority of the Saudi militants who have entered Iraq were not terrorist sympathizers before the war and were radicalized almost exclusively by the coalition invasion. In other words, they grouped together. The average age of the Saudis was between 17 and 25, and like I said, they had jobs, middle class, mostly prominent part of the conservative tribes. Most of the Saudi militants were motivated by the revulsion at the idea of an Arab land being occupied by a non-Arab country. True words were never spoken. These feelings are intensified by the images of the occupation they see on television and the internet. The catalyst most often cited in interrogations is Abu Ghraib prison, though images from Guantanamo Bay also feed into the pathology. The report also gives note that the Saudi government, for spending nearly $1.2 billion over the past 2 years, and deploying 35,000 troops in an effort to secure its border with Iraq. The major problem remains that the border with Syria, which lacks the resources of the Saudis to create a similar barrier on its border. Associated Press reports that CSIS believes most of the insurgents are not Saddam Hussein loyalists, but members of the Sunni Arab Iraqi tribes. They do not want to see Mr. Hussein return to power, but they are wary of Shiite-led government. Now, and by the way, folks, the Shiites and the Sunnis, well, heretofore were bitter enemies, and, well, now they've found friends. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. The Los Angeles Times reports that a greater concern is that skills foreign fighters are learning in Iraq are being exported to their home countries. This in particular concern for Europe, since early this year, U.S. intelligence reported that Abu Musab Zarqawi, whose network is believed to extend far beyond, beyond Iraq, has dispatched teams of battle-hardened operatives to European capitals. Iraq has become a superheated real-world academy for lessons about weapons, urban combat, and terrorist tradecraft, said Thomas Sanderson of the CSIS. Extremists in Iraq are exposed to international networks from around the world. Sanderson, who's been briefed by German security agencies, he's also said that they are returning with bomb-making skills, perhaps stolen explosives, vastly increased knowledge. If they are succeeding in a hostile environment, avoiding U.S. special forces, then to go back to Europe, my God, it's kid's play. Now, I'm not going to bother reading the rest of the story because that's the gist of it, but the point is, folks, that, yeah, that you're going to have resistance to any time that you occupy a country. And you see, now this war in Iraq has merged into the war on terrorism. Now, I don't know who came up with that, Karl Rove, or maybe even George Bush himself dreamed that one up in his many states of stupor. Who knows? But it's not true. Saddam Hussein did not run any terrorist networks against the United States. They were absolutely no threat to the United States whatsoever. Period. Over and out. But somehow this has been morphed into, oh, well, it's a terrorist state, and, oh, that's right, don't forget the war on terrorism now. Well, that's because they want you to forget about all the weapons of mass destruction and all this is well-crafted propaganda blitz that they did beforehand to justify the war in Iraq. And, of course, you've been around listening to this program for a while and other people, and now you know the full story behind it, but it's funny how this kind of now morphs in to war on terrorism. You know, I mean, it's just, it's insane. It really is. I mean, the North Koreans, right? We're close to doing a deal with the North Koreans. We want them to get rid of their nuclear weapons. Well, what's always scared the death out of the North Koreans, and I'm no party to them. I'm not giving aid and comfort to their lifestyles or their political philosophies, namely communism, or anything else. Suffice it to say, though, that they said that they would fight man, woman, and child to the death against America if they tried to invade, because we don't want to be invaded and occupied like you guys did in Germany. Remember you had a little war over there? Oh, that's right. And in 2005, you're still occupying their country. This is what they are afraid of. Plain and simple. So, gee, do you think a deal might be struck with the North Koreans? And I don't see them launching any nuclear weapons at us. The only reason they would do that is probably a little desperation act when they were getting the snot kicked out of them other ways. But nuclear weapons are the last weapons of resort for anybody, because once you start launching those little puppies, you can expect, oh, that's right, retaliation. And many people have pointed out that, well, you know what? Having nuclear war is not a good idea, because you know what? The war itself, the method of the war, then becomes the enemy and not necessarily the war itself. In other words, there ain't a whole heck of a lot of survivors once you start launching these little puppies off. Take the break here. Come back on the other side. Greg Szymanski, which will be joining this network, I do believe. When is that scheduled, Mr. Producer? You don't know, do you? Huh? 1 week? Okay. Sounds close enough. Did a story in the AFP, American Free Press, 9/11 lies under fire, and finally the truth is emerging from the disaster. We'll also cover that. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Are you one of the millions who have trouble waking up every morning? Hit the snooze a few too many times? Need that morning cup of coffee to get you started? Why not put a little spice in your morning with Gano Cafe? Gano Cafe, a healthy coffee, gives you energy and vigor, increases your focus and mental clarity. Gano Cafe helps the body heal itself, strengthen the immune system, and waste elimination for detoxification. If you're a coffee drinker, you won't believe the wonderful taste of this great coffee. Ganoderma, commonly known as the reishi mushroom, has been utilized in Chinese medicine for over 2,000 years. Also known as the longevity herb, miraculous king of herbs, it's more powerful than ginseng and has much lower caffeine and acid. To get your cup of great-tasting coffee, go to healthycoffeeonline.com or call 1-888-841-6055. That's 1-888-841-6055.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions, and there are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Eliminate the cause. Don't just treat the symptoms. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. One more time, that's 866-885-6625.
This is Christine with another Bring 'Em Home message. Have we as Americans had enough yet? With the recent crisis in New Orleans and the southern Gulf Coast, death and destruction have been visited upon Americans once again. The government's response has been to bring foreign troops onto America's land. Federal and foreign troops now control the region, while the National Guardsmen are away, entangled in foreign wars, unable to protect their homes and families. The New World Order has reached its long-planned objective, to secure American troops on foreign soil and foreign troops on American soil. Enough. Let's get these foreign troops out and bring our American troops home now. Help us make the public aware of this dire situation by displaying on your cars our Bring 'Em Home magnetic ribbons or our new Bring 'Em Home bumper stickers. To place your orders, call 877-605-9200 or go to rbnlive.com or bringemhome.org.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
The exit Iraq to attack Iran. Folks, this is why you continually see the media, and they're taking the scripts right from the White House. They're taking them from the Department of Defense. I mean, there's no argument about this. They are the panderers of the supposed information. You know, you know, you knew you were in trouble, folks, when you heard that, oh, yes, we have embedded journalists. Yeah, right. Going on guided tours and picking up exactly what the commanders and DOD and Pentagon and White House and whatever else they would throw their way, they would dutifully just type it all up and put their name on it and put it out. Okay. Well, the reason why you're still hearing about these terrible insurgents, and nothing has been done out of the White House to really clarify that Saddam Hussein, that's right, in Iraq, was not the reason for the attack September 11, 2001, but they carefully spun it into that. Remember, 70%, 75% of the people in this country believed that Saddam Hussein, you know, they thought, oh, yeah, the war on terror, yeah. Oh, that's right, Saddam Hussein must have had something to do with September 11. Yeah, go get all those ragheads, kill them all. This beer-swilling, I don't have a thought in my head type of mentality is really troublesome to me. I mean, it really is. because, folks, there's a reason why they're building bases over there and shutting them down here. Do you think we're going to go anyplace soon in the Middle East? Not if we let the PNAC and the clowns that are associated with them hang on to power in this country. Jim Tucker writes, the Bush administration may be planning an exit strategy from the current quagmire in Iraq by invading the neighboring country of Iran, a Middle East expert warns. The lack of any strong response in the political system or the media to the Iraq adventure, even though public opinion has turned against it, may encourage the Bush administration to engage in further military adventures in the Middle East as a sort of flight from dealing with the problems they have created by creating new ones, said the expert. And this expert, his name is Rashid Khalidi, I do believe his name is. Khalidi is the Edward Said Professor of Arab Studies and the director of Middle East Institute at Columbia University. His words, first reported in the journal White House Weekly, were contained in remarks prepared for delivery to the American Political Science Association. A possible attack on Iran is predicted on a set of assumptions, he said. The first is that the Pentagon would drastically reduce the exposure of U.S. armed forces in Iraq over the next 8 to 10 months. This cut-and-run policy would, of course, never be announced as such and may not prove to be feasible if the situation there continues to deteriorate, although that the deterioration may paradoxically also accelerate it, Khalidi said. Such a policy would be carried out under cover of false claims that Iraqi forces had been fully trained, that there was a political progress around the Constitution and elections, and that generally all was for the best in the best of all possible worlds in Iraq. Well, not all U.S. bases in Iraq would be removed, he said. The administration would just withdraw most U.S. forces to the permanent bases they have already been built in the distant, inaccessible parts of the country, leaving Iraqis in the heavily populated areas to fend for themselves. This is the nature of what is being planned, is indicated by the focus of pro-war propaganda by those inside and outside the administration who are campaigning for this new war, who are, by and large, the same lot who campaigned for the last one. Certainly, there is much to indicate that the preparations for such an attack on Iran are currently being contemplated as new air and naval bases are being built in Central Asia, the Trans-Caspian region, Afghanistan, the Gulf, and elsewhere. End of quote. No, he says one thing other. He says it is unlikely that those advocating this war will manage to pull this one off because they are opposed by sane individuals. Now, these include, he said, the bulk of our permanent government and intelligence and diplomatic field, by the bulk of our senior officer corps of the Army and the Marines, whose men and women in the field will pay the highest price if such a foolish policy is pursued, and by other individuals in Washington, of whom there are many. But the neocons and the muscular nationalists currently in charge of foreign policy, nothing is entirely impossible, and nothing can be ruled out simply because it seems to fly against logic and rationality. This is nothing if not faith-based, fact-free administration. As if on cue, the following day, a large think tank, the Iran Policy Committee, issued a white paper in Washington making the case, that's right, for war. The Iran Policy Committee is supported by such neocon all-stars as Douglas Feith, Frank Gaffney, Richard Perle, Paul Wolfowitz, Donald Rumsfeld, and Condoleezza Rice, which I still haven't figured out what it is and why it wears skirts, because it doesn't even look like it's of this planet. Now, the national security strategy of the United States of America is a proactive campaign against terrorists, state sponsors, and proliferators of nuclear weapons, that is, all of which describe the government of Iran. This is according to the Iran Policy Committee. The strategy calls for preemptive and preventative military action against hostile states and terrorist groups seeking to develop weapons of mass destruction. The paper said, Iran is a case study awaiting American action to help its own people take down their rulers. And the beat goes on. They're going to have to do a good PR job on this one, folks, because Bush's presidency is in serious trouble. He has an approval rating of something like 35%. And really, don't let the Katrina and Rita, lovely Rita, that we had blowing through the Gulf here, which, by the way, missed most of Texas. Down here in central Texas, folks, we didn't even get a drop of rain. You guys up the East Coast right now, you're getting soaked beyond belief. Well, we're in drought city down here. At any rate, aside from the Katrina and supposedly everybody expecting the federal government to ride to the rescue, where are the state planners and where is all this other stuff, you know, civil defense? And, well, it isn't like the people down in the Gulf didn't know that they were sitting on the Gulf and they could be hit by a hurricane. Okay, it's just a matter of when. You know, you never fix the leaky roof. Well, you're not going to climb up there when it's raining, are you? Well, it ain't raining, it ain't leaking. So why fix it? Well, the amount of money, it's astounding, that's going into the Gulf region right now. Hey, folks, billions of dollars, $60 billion plus. I mean, I could rebuild an entire country for $60 billion, just not four states. I mean, it's amazing. But at any rate, Iraq is hurting towards disintegration, the Saudis are warning. The Saudi government yesterday warned that Iraq is hurtling towards disintegration and that an election planned for December is unlikely to make any difference at all. The government said it was delivering this bleak assessment to both the U.S. and British administrations as a matter of urgency. This comes out of the London Guardian by Ewan McCaskill. He writes, the Saudi fears of a breakup were voiced by Prince Saud al-Faisal, the foreign minister, in an interview with the Associated Press published yesterday. And in a meeting on Thursday night with the U.S. media, including the New York Times and the Washington Post, and I'm quoting him, the impression is gradually going toward disintegration. There seems to be no dynamic now that is pulling the country together. All the dynamics there are pushing the people away from each other. Well, this is what they like, order out of chaos, and they don't care how many people they have to kill to get to that state, folks. You know, their state of confusion, so they can nation build. You know, it's a good thing. We don't like a dictator? Well, how would we feel? Oh, you want a good uniter here. How would you feel if China was threatening our dictator here? Oh, that's right, President Bush. Maybe that's what needs to happen. Maybe that is what needs to happen to. Maybe we can start another Cold War with Russia. That was always good for politics, wasn't it? I think the only way that George Bush would look presidential whatsoever is to have a major country threatening us with war or to depose a dictator or whatever the case may be. Because all of what he's saying about Iraq, other countries are saying about the United States. A little irony there, isn't there? Well, I don't find it ironic. I find it sick, but it is what it is. Now, his comments are the most pessimistic about Iraq to be made public by the Middle East leader in recent months. Prince Saud, who is meeting with the Bush administration officials in Washington, said his government warned the U.S. before the war of consequences in the invasion, but was ignored. It is frustrating to see something that is clearly going to happen and you are not listened to by a friend, and soon harm comes out of it. It hurts. Now, Saudi Arabia sits on a council with other Iraqi neighbors, Iran, Jordan, Kuwait, Syria, Turkey. And Prince Saud said that the main worry is that the breakup in Iraq will draw the countries of the region into conflict. Turkey is worried about an independent Kurdish state in the north of Iraq. And Saudi Arabia, which is primarily made up of Sunni Muslims, is concerned about the growing influence of Iran in the southern Iraq through its co-religionists, it states, the Shias. The Saudi fear is not only that Iran would be greatly strengthened, but it would be tempted to extend its influence further by creating unrest among the small communities of the Shia in the north of Saudi Arabia and the Gulf states. He expressed skepticism about U.S. predictions that security in Iraq will improve after the election. A referendum on Iraq's new constitution is planned for October 15th and a general election in December. The U.S. and Britain hope that the election will be watershed. Perhaps what they are saying is going to happen, Prince Saud said. I wish it would happen, but I don't think that a constitution by itself will resolve the issues. The U.S. response to his warnings was to predict an improvement after the referendum and the election. Prince Saud said this. He says, but what I'm trying to say, to do, is to say that unless something is done to bring Iraqis together, elections alone won't do it, by sending diplomatic representation to the country. But Saudi Arabia has been reluctant to comply following the kidnapping and murder this summer of Ahib al-Sharif, the Egyptian ambassador to Iraq, and I can't even pronounce this guy's name, so I'm not even going to bother. Prince Saud said the Saudi ambassador in Baghdad would become an immediate target for assassination. He says, I doubt he'd last the day. The prince blamed the unrest partly on a series of U.S. decisions since the invasion. He claimed the U.S. was guilty of alienating the Sunni population by designating every Sunni as a Ba'athist criminal. Well, folks, it's part of the plan, too, is to keep factions fighting against each other. That way you can justify that, there's terrorism going on. Ooh, these evil insurgents and so on and so forth. I would like to see who come to our aid if we got invaded by the Chinese here. Would Canada help us out? I think they might. Would Mexico? I don't know. They're pretty communist. They could probably jump in bed with the Chinese. They'd probably try to cut a deal. Well, we'll help you invade the United States, and we'll use your we'll use our own manpower, but we'll use the weaponry and the money supplied by you. And by the way, we'll take California, New Mexico, Arizona, Washington, Oregon, Idaho. You see where I'm going with this. So the thing in Iraq, folks, they are following the roadmap to peace for the Israelis. I mean, that's the bottom line to this. Do you think the Israelis pulled out of the Gaza Strip because they wanted to? No, they were getting a lot of heat worldwide and had to make some kind of overture, that's right, some kind of peaceful gesture that we're going to quit occupying this land that we stole how many years ago? It worked in some circles, but in the smart people circle, it sure didn't. And I'm certainly not fooled by it. What we're doing is going through the laundry list of the enemies of the Israeli state, which is just about all of the Middle East. And I don't know for the life of me. I mean, it's got to be one heck of a PR move. And it's going to have to be better than Karl Rove or... what's that? I keep wanting to call her the Frankenstein. Condoleezza Rice. Yeah, that's right. or better than... excuse me. Donnie Rumsfeld. They're going to have to do a little bit better if they're going to try to sell this. Weapons of mass destruction, that's right, to the American people. After all, George, we know you lied about it in Iran. Or, I'm sorry, Iraq. We caught you dead to rights on that one. That's why we shifted focus to the war on terrorism. Well, you're only making terrorists by occupying that country, you damn fool. Anybody with a third-grade education could tell you that. And the insanity goes on. Oh, yeah, we're going to go into Iran. Why not? You've been seeing the stories for months. You know, the UN is now saying, well, you know, we're going to think about sanctions here. Well, this is the same way that they started with Iraq, folks. And let me ask you a question. If your neighbor had 400 nuclear weapons and you had none, how secure would you feel? Now, I don't look for Iran, and I seriously look for them, and they would be foolish not to have a couple of nuclear weapons just on hand for deterrence purposes, because Israel doesn't like the idea of being attacked by the Arabs, and especially from afar. You know, launch a missile, you know, there you go. If I was in Iran right now, I'd be heading at breakneck speed. I probably would even bought some nuclear weapons off the Chinese or the Russians right now, just to have a couple on hand. Because what's the deterrent against Israel with its 400 nuclear weapons when they know full well that Israel hates their guts? So I'm just asking you, in this geopolitical sense, to plop yourself down for a minute, make yourself an Iranian, sitting in a country, you're staring at somebody that just absolutely hates your guts, and they got 400 nuclear weapons. and they've waged war all over the place in the past. What do you think you'd be doing? You wouldn't be out there buying a Smith and Wesson six-shooter. That's for doggone sure. And it's already been said by Donald Rumsfeld, it's already been said by Dick Cheney, George Bush, contemplating the use of nuclear weapons in Iran. Why? Did Iran threaten to nuke us? I'm sorry, did they send any little packages or letters over to the White House? Has anybody gotten sick here? You know, what is the big deal with Iran? Oh, that's right. They might have a nuclear capability. They might. Well, I say they should have. Because if my next-door neighbor had 400 nuclear weapons and I had none, I'd be feeling real insecure at this point. But don't worry. The friends of the State of Israel, the United States, will make sure that nobody develops any threat against Israel. Oh, I'm sorry, the United States. Well, both of them. You see the point. We'll be right back.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
When was the last time you used pure soap? I mean real, hard-to-find, all-natural pure soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorant, or antibacterials? Probably never, right? For the past 50 years, the Calbend Soap Company has been making triple-concentrated pure soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calbend Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. It's great news because Calbend Pure Soap is made from all-natural ingredients, is earth-friendly, and completely environmentally safe. So if you want yesterday's values today, for good old-fashioned pure soap, call Calbend at 1-800-340-7091.
Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbend Pure Soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Or on the web at calbendpuresoap.com.
Try pure soap once and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
The Iraqi to the Iranians. Yeah. There is no escape, folks. When the United States gets a head of steam up, just hang on. Yes. The empire is watching. You better run. Well, you're an American. How do you think people around the globe perceive America? We've gone in exhaustive detail on this program and programs on this network, spelling out exactly what has gone wrong in this country and what has to be fixed and the reason why. One reason is not to be a slave. That'd be a good reason. That's reason enough for me. The spending, folks. Spending is out of control. George Bush has said something lame the other day. It just made me chuckle. I just had to laugh. Because his administration is saying that, well, yeah, the budget's going to be balanced in a couple of years. What budget are we talking about here? I'm not quite sure how these politicians can look straight-faced into a camera and say that, we're going to balance the budget. Yeah, we got a five-year plan this time. Mm-hmm, yeah, we're going to balance the budget. $71 trillion in the hole, folks. How do you balance that kind of budget? And see, what they do with the public is every year, you know, the government figures out how much money that they have to spend. And then they look at how much money they're taking in. And then they start figuring up budgets. And, that's when the lying starts. Because I don't look at this year's budget or last year's or 5 or 10 years ago budgets. I don't care about that. I look at the bottom line. The past, present, and future obligations of the United States government is $71 trillion and climbing rapidly. $71 trillion. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, wait a minute. You know, I saw the national debt clock and said we only owe about $7 trillion plus. Well, no, folks, that's for the public giveaways. Medicare, Medicaid, things of that nature. That is supposedly on our behalf. Well, and when you really look at it, they're taking the money out of everybody's pockets for everything else. The Senate would give President Bush $50 billion more for wars in Iraq and Afghanistan as part of a $440 billion defense spending measure a panel approved Monday. You know, I want to talk about this a little bit more at length, but we're coming up to break here in a minute or so. But folks, think about this. With all the money that is being spent over Afghanistan in Iraq, remember Desert Dust? Oh, that's right. Let's go back, 13, 14 years ago. Include that. I don't even know what the figure is. But do you realize we could have rebuilt every slum in this country? We could have rebuilt probably every road in this country. We could have fixed our infrastructure, leveled the slums, built brand new housing, thrown everybody off of welfare, by the way, and said, here you go. Now you got an even break and you got something of worth here. The government just gave it to you. Don't mortgage it to go play poker or whatever the case may be. But at any rate, and just cut the government, the proverbial teat from flowing. Could have been done. I'm not into government giveaways, folks, in any shape, form, or fashion. But I'm just saying, with the billions of dollars that are being wasted by this government, and we're already past repayment of any imaginable time frame, it just seems ridiculous to me. I mean, why don't we just fix up our own backyard rather than destroying somebody else's? So we'll take the break. We'll be right back. Hour two coming at you.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org. RepublicBroadcasting.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.